I thank the Lord today that He is our helper.
Yes, He is.
And have you ever tried to help somebody and they didn't want your help? That's a little difficult. But I'm thankful. I believe everyone in here wants help from God. And we really need help from God. And I believe when we come in a humble attitude toward the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help.
Right.
He will give you help.
Amen.
On any line.
Yes.
And the Lord has just given me great encouragement this morning. Early this morning, woke me up with these scriptures. And I had another message in my Bible, but the Lord said, no, this is what I want you to have. So I just thank the Lord. I just want you to be encouraged today that the Lord wants to help you. I feel like the Lord knows that we all have needs, many different needs. But the Lord is able to supply those needs. He's able to work in your life if you'll let Him. And we just sang that song, Ever Lead Me. And that first verse says, out in this dark world, Savior am I. Be thou my helper. Oh, hear my cry. Thou art my portion. All is in thee. Oh, let thy mighty hand ever lead me. We want to read the first verse we have in Psalms 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Praise God. The Lord is our helper. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, which from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, saints, we need, when we get in needs, we need to lift up our eyes unto God. We need to not look for other avenues of help. And sometimes we do, and sometimes we need them to a certain point. But our main help comes from God. Even when others may be helping us, even our sisters and brothers may be helping us, the Lord is the one above all things. He causes people to help you. He causes things to work out in your life. He is above it all. And you cannot give glory to any other, because He is the one that we should look up to Him above everything. Don't put confidence in man too much. Put your confidence in God above everything, because He is the one that's going to help you in life all the way through. I was thinking this morning how that when I was a child, how I was discussing with Sister Dixie a little bit in her home. She very gracious and hospitality toward me. I thank the Lord for that. But I was just thinking about when I was a child and how that the Lord led me to the truth and led me to the saints. You know, I needed a lot of help from God. I still do.
Yes.
But I was a child. I was not raised with the saints. I needed help. I needed the Lord to lead me to the saints. And I remember praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, I know you have a right church out there somewhere. You have a church, a right church. And the Lord helped me. The Lord opened up doors for me. He worked in my life and also through my husband. His family knew the saints and I met him when I was unsaved. But the Lord worked in that to bring me in Michigan. He heard the cry of a young child crying to him around 12 years old. 13, I started praying earnestly, Lord, lead me to the truth.
Yes.
And so the Lord, at 17, I met my husband. And prior to that, I had been kind of like pre-engaged, but I broke that up. And the Lord just worked in my life and brought me to the saints. And you know, I just think, and He's been helping me all the way. He's been helping me. He heals me. He works things out for me. He keeps courage in our heart. And you know, He's doing the same thing for you. He can just help you and work out things, open up doors for you, close doors when they need to be. He can just work in your life and help you. But you must lift up your eyes unto God. Look unto God all the time, every single day. You know, we heard in this meeting about that the Lord is, He wants to be a God that's not afar off. He's a God that's in us. We live and move in 17th chapter of Acts, and we have our being because of God. And He's not a God that's way far away. He's a God that's right here in us, with us. And He's going to open doors and work things out for you and encourage you and help you all the way through life. You know, it's just wonderful how the Lord can work in our lives. And this scripture is a very wonderful scripture. And we have some more we want to read. And Psalms 46 and 1. There's a scripture over here we want to read. Psalms 46 and 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now there's one thing that's going to happen to us in life, and we're going to have some trouble. We're going to have different kinds of trouble. And we need to learn as a Christian how to look to God in those times of trouble. And know that He will help you. Whether it's trouble, if there's affliction in your body, or maybe it's trouble coming from a person, or maybe it's some other kind of trouble with, like we had tornadoes and winds and all these problems we're worried about, those kind of troubles. Like was mentioned, the world and politics and all this, this is trouble to us. And laws that they're trying to make that's not godly laws. All kinds of trouble, but our help comes from God. God will help us. If we turn our eyes toward Him and ask Him to help us, He will help us. And you know, I hear sometimes people say, I need some help in my soul. But they don't go forward. They don't go forward for prayer. And you know, sometimes, even affliction sometimes, people are a little bit embarrassed to go up and be anointed. But we don't need to be embarrassed about that. Right. We need, this is the provision that the Lord has said, call for the elders of the church and have them anoint you with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord will raise them up. And I know there's sometimes we can pray for ourselves. But there's sometimes the Lord inspires us to be anointed. And we want to go up there and get the help. It's right there for us. Sometimes people need help in their souls and they don't go forward. They don't go to the altar and pray. And they're like, they're too embarrassed or they don't want to do it because people will see them. But you know, the Lord wants you to get the help you need. If we go through this whole revival and we just don't go forward for help, or we don't go in our secret closet of prayer and call on God, we won't get the help if we don't ask for the help. You know, I think about the scripture. I think it's Matthew 7. It says, ask and ye shall receive. You ask for help, God will give you help. There's another scripture. We may not turn to all these scriptures, but in my mind comes to me. But you know the scripture that said, if a child would ask a father, give me bread, would he give him a stone? He said, how much more shall the Holy God, your Father, give you the Holy Spirit if you ask Him? And some people think that's a difficult thing. It's not difficult. All it needs is, we need consecration to God. And, you know, I was reading in Brother Warner's book one time, I think it was in the Birth of Reformation, but this young man said that he didn't have the brains to understand sanctification. And it was, he tried to make it sound like it was some big thing to understand, and you had to really be educated to understand sanctification. And Brother Warner said, God bless you, brother. It doesn't take brains. It takes humility. It takes consecration. It takes willingness to say, God, help me. Because you know what? I see a foe in my temple. It's not subject to God. And I need to be filled with your Holy Spirit and get this carnality out of me. And you know, when you see yourself and ask God for help, He will give you the Holy Spirit. Simple as that. It's by faith. But it is a work. It's an actual work. And you know, people draw back. They don't get the help they need. They just wander around in the wilderness. I was thinking about the children of Israel. They did not need to take 40 years. They did not need to take all that time to get there. It should have been just a few days' journey. But they just were wandering around because they weren't submitting to God. They were murmuring. They were complaining. They needed lots of help from God, but they didn't get it help right away. They just kept wandering around in the wilderness, and God was grieved with them. Oh, may the Lord help us today. Let's not be lacking in our soul. Let's get the help we need in this meeting. We may not always be able to be here physically, but we're going to pray that the Lord blesses Wichita and bless the saints here, and that you'll get the help you need in this meeting. You know, when we go into meetings, we need to pray and have a prayer in our heart. Lord, give me the help I need. You know, we all have needs. It may be we're saved and we're sanctified. It may be we've lived many years for God, but we never want to get proud in any way about that. No, God forbid. We have nothing to boast. Only through the Holy Spirit. We all have needs. We all can get closer to the Lord. We need God's wisdom. You know, it was never long ago, and Guthrie, the Lord gave me a message on wisdom. But you know, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which give to all men liberally. We need wisdom to know how to be good leaders. We need wisdom to how to be in a congregation and be flexible and kind and loving, and how to get along with one another. And even among the saints as a whole, we need to know how to have wisdom, how to have understanding, how to work with our brothers and sisters, how God can bless His kingdom, bless His church. We need to get behind one another, be a help to one another. You know, we want God's help, that we need to be looking for ways that we can help each other, not be across each other, not to be a heavy burden each other, not to talk about one another in a wrong way, but to love one another. If we see our brother or sister's weak in a certain area, maybe we can see that. But you know, the scripture says you might see a weakness in your brother or sister, but you might have a beam in your own eye. You might see a mote in them, and they might really have it. But at the same time, you may have a beam that you cannot see yourself, about your own self. And oh God, we need to go down before God and say, Lord, help me. God, will you help me? Will you help me to see myself? Will you help me to be a better Christian? Will you help me to be a better saint? You know, I think about in the Church of God, every one of us, we affect one another. We cannot say to the least, I have no need of you. I'm better than you. I really don't have much need of you. I'm smarter than you. I know I had someone say that to me one time in the family, because they'd went to college and different things, you know, and they said, well, I'm just smarter than you. And I said, well, I said in that certain area that you got education, you probably are smarter than me in that area. But I said, you know, I really, all along, you know, I felt like I have some education and life, you know. But you know, some people just get high-minded. They think that. But Lord, help us to realize we need God's help. Every one of us can help each other. And God can work through, you know, He works through little children. You know, I have the sweetest little grandchildren. And you know, they work, God works through them with my heart. God shows me the love of God through those little children. And you know, one of my little children, they were over for Easter, and I wanted to keep them entertained while we were working. So I went to Walgreens and I bought these big poster boards like this, and stencils and little pens and paper, crayons, so they could go on the table and they could make Easter cards, you know, and they could work on that, you know, and while we were working. And one of my little ones, that's about 5 years old, I seen her working on one, but I didn't know what she was doing. But she used a stencil. She asked me what was after happy, what was after P, and it was a Y. But she made happy Easter, and she drew the pretty little flowers, and she taped them on the back of my door in our bedroom. So when I shut the door after she left, I saw it. I didn't see it. She had scotch tape, and I had given scotch tape and taped this big card for me and Jerry on the back of our door. I thought it's still there. It's the sweetest little thing. But she helped me. She helped me to see the love of God. Oh, you know, and you might think she's just a little baby. She's 5 years old. But I see the love that she demonstrates. And sometimes if she hears a sad story, she'll cry for people. And she said, and Bridget says, oh, Courtney, she's so soft-hearted. Said when she hears something sad about somebody, she cries and feels so bad. And she says she has to get on the couch and just lay down and cry and feel so sorry for that person. And she says, Mama, I don't know why I'm so soft-hearted. I said, well, you know, the Lord can work with that. But you know, it's wonderful how little children can encourage us, how they can just show me, you know, that card done something for me. It did something, you know. I love that love that she showed toward us, you know. Little children, they don't have money sometimes to go out and buy you a dozen roses, something like that. But oh, bless her little heart. She hit that love to make that card for me. You know, God is there all the time wanting to help us. And all we have to do is reach out. God wants to give us a card. He wants to give us love. He wants to give us the Holy Spirit if we need it. He wants to give us divine healing. You know, I just praise him for what he did recently for my eye. You know, I could have put those ointments in my eye, but I couldn't do it. I bought it and I was going to do it because I thought, well, maybe, you know how you get kind of confused. Maybe no be harmed. Your eye's dry and it's not healing. But you know, when it come down to doing that, I just couldn't do it. And I said, Lord, I just can't open that package. I don't want to do it. I don't trust in that. And I said, you're a great God. You made my eyes in the first place. You created my eyes. And you heal. And you can heal this eye without any help. Your help. I need your help. And then, oh, I walk up every day with no pain in my eye. Praise God. I believe he healed me. I know he did. He healed me. And I, you know, I just know that. I just praise him because my eye was hurting and it was watering and I didn't wake up no more like that anymore. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. He is our helper. And it says he will help us and right early. It won't be a long time. He'll just help us right away. We just say, well, I prayed and prayed about something, and it doesn't work out. It doesn't happen. But you know, maybe it's not the Lord's will. Can you have confidence in God? Can you believe that if he doesn't work it out, it's not his will? And can you be satisfied with that? Oh, I am satisfied. We sing the song. It says, I am satisfied with Jesus. What a peace, soul, rest I feel. When life's burdens try to press me, oh, he doth all my sorrows heal. Oh, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I know that in whom I believe. I know in whom I trust. I know that Christ abides in me and all his ways are just. You know, we had this storm the other day. Friday night, it was so windy and it was blowing the chairs around on the front porch. It was blowing my cushions off in the yard, off of the porch swing, and the swing was hitting and the wind was just blowing and the lights were flickering. So Aunt Teresa, turn all the lights out, honey. And I had this little lighter that I light my candles. So I lit a couple candles so we could see, you know. And I was saying, and the wind just kept. Jerry said, you need to pray, honey. You need to pray. So I got down to pray. And I said, Lord, help us. And I said, help us, Lord. And I said, I'm scared. I know I'm not supposed to be, but I'm scared because it sounds terrible. And Jerry said, I sure hope it don't hurt this house. I'm too tired to fix it, he says. But you know. And now we're getting older and Jerry's getting tired of doing it. I don't blame him, you know. But I was down praying. I said, I came to me about when Jesus calmed the winds. And I said, Lord, I'm scared. I said, it's windy out there and it's scary. I said, but Lord, you said, peace be still. And it calmed right down. Do you know I can testify it wasn't long that wind just ceased out. And it got calm. The Lord helped us. The Lord helped us. I can kind of understand why the disciples was a little bit fearful in that boat. We're going to read about that a little bit. But, you know, this is wonderful that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. You know, I was thinking about what's coming on the world, and you know, some of my family, they're buying groceries to stock up. And she's encouraging me, Marcia, you need to get you some food. And I don't know. I guess there's nothing wrong with that if you want to do that, stock up on food, you know. But the thing is, right now in our pantry, if we used to eat everything that was in there, it would probably last us for quite a while. It might not be the tastiest always to have green beans or a can of corn, you know, but you would live. But you know, she just wants to stock up on these things and get prepared for the worst, because there may not be no food at the grocery stores. There may not be this, and it's all negative, you know. But you know, something in my heart says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I think about Elijah. The ravens came and fed him. I don't think the Lord's going to let us go hungry. I believe God will help us. Do you believe that God will help us? Oh, I just believe that. Brother Bevington, if anyone ever read that, his book, he was a preacher, and he felt like during the revival he should fast and pray, and so he would, and he didn't stay with anybody. He stayed in this log. I know it sounds really strange, but that's what he did. And on the front of the book there's this log, and Bevington stayed in that log at night. And then there was this screw on top of the log that would bring him acorn every day. He was kind of like Elijah with the ravens on. He had his acorn came every day. The squirrel would bring to him. But you know, the Lord blessed Brother Bevington, and the Lord helped him. And I remember one story he was saying. He said that he had preached so strong on getting saved, you know, and this one man, him and his wife were standing there. I guess he wasn't saved and she was, but the husband wasn't saved. And the husband got mad at him because of the way he preached so strong. And so he would have out, he put his suitcase out in the yard. He said, you cannot stay with me no more, you know. And so he was out in the cold, and it was snowy. I might not have it just exactly right, but something like this I read a long time ago. Anyway, he was walking along. I know this. He was walking along after the service that night. He had nowhere to stay, and he was out in the cold, and his suitcase, and he's walking along, and he was saying, Lord, help me. It was snow, it was cold, and he was asking God to help him, and he was walking along, and it was getting nighttime. He couldn't see hardly. You know, you've been in snow when it's just snowing, and you come from it, we came from Michigan, it's snowing, you know, and blowing in his face, and all of a sudden he bumped into something, and it was a big haystack. And he started filling up, and he realized it was straw. And so he started digging in it and digging in it, because he get in the middle of the haystack. And he got all comfortable and put hay around him to get warm. And he said, oh, praise God. He said, I don't think Jesus had any better than this. And when he said that, he said he saw a vision. Every particle of that haystack lit up like gold. And he said it was the most beautiful thing he ever seen. You know, this is what it is. When we get in these hard places, this is when God reveals things to us. He does wonderful things. I remember one time in Michigan, I was sick, and it was like the midnight hour. In other words, if the Lord didn't heal me, I would have just died. And I won't go into the details of it, but I tell you what, the Lord came and answered my prayer and answered the prayers of the saints that was praying for me right then. Jerry's grandmother was praying for me, and Jerry was praying for me, and the Lord healed me instantly. Instantly. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't want to go. And the Lord healed me. He told me how to pray, and they prayed for me, and the Lord healed me right there. And I never forgot it. But it's in the places where you feel like you're just hemmed in, and you don't know what you're going to do, and you cry to God, God, help me. Help me. I need help. You know, I remember when I was 16 years old, I was in a car accident. It was about in the afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, and we hit this car, and then we started going towards the woods. And I was like the brother Marty, I couldn't have time to pray too much, you know, and plus I didn't even know how to pray too much because I wasn't saved. But I said, God, help me. And God heard that cry. Yes. And we hit this car, we went out towards the woods, and there was a house out there, and we hit these big trees. We just missed these great big trees that could have killed us. And then we hit the corner of the house, and that stopped us from going into more woods. And the Lord did help us, and the Lord let me live. Oh, and then the other car accident was in 1982, and I had 40 stitches in my temple. That gear shift or something we had it on the, I hit this way, so I don't know what went in my head, but I'm thinking it was that gear shift on the, we had it on the floor that went in my head. But I had 40 stitches inside and out. And when I was in the emergency room, and the doctor was there, they were going to sew my head up is all they were going to do. But they couldn't sew because I was bleeding so much and hemorrhaging. And I could feel it coming down, just pouring on my head. But you know, as Lord, and he said, we can't stop this bleeding. They had pressure on it and everything. And he said, we can't sew it up till we stop this bleeding. And I began to pray, the Lord, would you help me? And I was so weak and I had broken ribs and everything. But I said, oh Lord, and Jerry had broken ribs and a crushed ankle and broken jaw. Tammy had a broken arm, and Rhonda hit her face really bad, but we all lived through that terrible drunk man hit us. But you know, God let us live. And he helped us. And I remember just praying, just a simple prayer, but just saying, Lord, please stop this bleeding so they can sew my head up and help me out here, you know. And the Lord just almost immediately, they came to check my head again. They said, the blood's clotting. And when the doctor saw, I can't even remember how I was seeing his face or anything, but he saw my head and he said, you know, you're so, I was 29 years old then. He said, you are so fortunate to be with us tonight. He said, just a little bit further, it would have went into your skull. He said, just barely missed. That's how deep it went. And you would have been instantly killed. But you know, the Lord let me live. He's my helper. Praise God. He helped me when I didn't even know. I just knew the car was coming and I said, God, help us. I remember, you know, you just don't have time to pray a lot. But God did help and he only let it go so far so we could have a testimony, but he let us live. And this is why we praise him. This is why we don't ever want to backslide. We never wanted to backslide ever since we've been saved. We never was tempted to backslide. We've had some hard places, but we wanted to stay with the Lord because the Lord has been so good to us. He has answered prayer. He's worked things out. He's helped us. He's blessed us. He's healed our bodies. He's healed our children. He has done so many mighty things, and he's blessed us to be with the saints, and they are my people, and you know, we love everyone, and you know, the Lord has just gave us a wonderful church family. And you know, he's just done so many things. I thought about that song that said, if I had 10,000 lives, I'd give them all to thee. And as I was sitting there this morning, I was just thinking, what a wonderful life the Lord has given us to be with the church of God, to be with the saints. It's been a wonderful life. And you know, it's been an exciting life. And you know, I'm so glad that we don't have a pulpit committee. I'm so glad that we don't know who's going to preach, because we can trust in the Lord, that the Lord's going to help us. And it's exciting that way, isn't it? Isn't it better not to have a program and have everything put out there, what's going to happen, because you can come to service. I like things exciting. I've always been that way. I like things mysterious, things waiting on the Lord, seeing the Lord work, doing mighty things. You know, this is the way we want to trust in the Lord. He wants us to trust in him. We don't know what songs are going to be sung. We don't know who's going to pray. We leave that in the Lord's hands. We don't know who's going to preach. It's better that way, that we leave it in the Lord's hands and trust in the Lord and let the Lord work and let the Lord lead. I like to see ministers call and say, I have a burden to come for the revival. God, give it to me. You know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with calling somebody, but I would rather that they have a real sincere burden ahead of time. And lots of times too, when a pastor may call them, I say, the Lord has already been working with them, and that's good too. And you know, God is wonderful. He can help us. We don't have to work everything out. We don't have to even worry about everything. Quit your worrying. If you're worrying, you're not trusting. If you're trusting, you're not worrying. You just got to have faith in God. You got to know that God's going to help you. What do you need this morning? The Lord wants to help you. He loves you. He loves us. He wants to work things out for us. He wants to give us courage. Don't let the devil discourage you. Don't let the devil do that to you. You know, I was remember reading one time, this minister went to hold a revival, and he just couldn't get up to preach. And when he got there, these other ministers was in the meeting. They said, a couple nights went by, and they had to get up and preach because the man that's supposed to be holding revival wouldn't get up because the enemy was trying to fight against him and just tell him he didn't have any inspiration. He didn't need to have a message. Ministers are humans. They have those struggles. But you know, we know that. I know it sounds funny, but what I mean is they have battles too. Finally this brother said, why don't you get up and preach? Why don't you do the Lord's work? And he said, because I just don't have, I need help. He said, I just need help. I just don't have any inspiration. He said, that's the devil. Uh-huh. You know, some nights we need to help each other. Yeah. We need to get in there and say, now that's just the devil, brother. That's just the devil working on you. Have you done anything wrong? No. Well, then just rebuke the devil. And they just prayed for him and they rebuked the devil. They rebuked this accusation. You know, sometimes the devil comes along with accusations and false accusations and try to discourage you and say, well, you know, no one pats me on the back. No one gives me courage. No one accepts me. That's just the devil. You go forward because the Lord loves you and he will work for you. Look at little David when he went up there to help his brothers and bring lunch to them. His father said, you go, David, you go and get that. What did his brother say? Why are you coming? You got some naughtiness in your heart. You come to see what's going on. They made fun of him. They ridiculed him. They just didn't like their little brother coming. You just go home. You're a nobody. You can't help us out. You're naughtiness coming up here. No, my daddy sent me up here to give you some lunch. They didn't appreciate. But you know, the Lord took little David and he said, he blessed his little stone and he threw it in. It killed the Goliath because God was with David.
That's right.
God was with David. Who do you want to help you anyway? You want God to be on your side.
That's right.
Why? You could have 10,000 people on your side. But I don't want to take sides with nobody because I want to be on God's side.
Amen.
It don't matter how many people's on your side. I don't want to say that, but I'll tell you what. We want God to be on our side. Sometimes people get in problems. They'll say, now I got some backing here. I can prove my point. And I got all these people that can prove my point. You know, if God's not in that thing, it won't help. It won't work things out. But God is the God of everything.
Yes, he is.
And he can help us. Praise the Lord. He can help us right now. It says here, therefore will not we fear though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. You know, one of these days we're going to die. And if that's not a fearful thing in the flesh, is a little bit in the flesh. Mm-hmm. And the enemy, he brings to our mind, that's going to happen to you one of these days. But you know what? God brings something else to my mind. But I am the God of the living.
All right.
And I am the God that promised you eternal life.
All right.
And I'm going to take you through that. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I'm going to take you on to heaven, and you're going to see the glories of heaven. The heavens are going to be opened. What did Stephen? He was being stoned. He was being killed. But he said, right in the midst of the most terrible thing, people throwing stones at you and killing your body, and did kill him, he looked up to his help.
Yeah.
My help cometh from the Lord. And he looked up there and he said, I see the heavens open and I see Jesus standing not sitting on the throne, standing and caring and giving help and ministering to Stephen. You know, Stephen wasn't supernatural. He's human just like us. But God was giving him help. God was giving him strength.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. You read about that other brother that was on the, he was on the martyr in the fire, and the fire came in and was destroying his body. And they, first of all, they tried to, someone help me with his name.
Polycarp,
yes. Polycarp, he was the pastor there, and they were killing him. And they tried to kill him at first by other means, and it wasn't working. And finally, they set him on fire. But that, you know, they told him, the saints told him or something, if you have the victory, brother, clap your hands. Clap your hands and let us know. And they said, in the midst of the flames, that his skeleton bones clapped, clapped, clapped! Glory! He was getting help! I really believe he wasn't feeling the pain. I really believe God was taking his soul, and he was so glorified, he was so blessed, he was getting so much help, that he was clapping his hands, he was praising the Lord, he was going to heaven. Oh, I tell you, it says, fear not those that can kill the body, but fear those that can hurt your soul. That's who you need to fear. Don't fear that, because God is your helper. He is your helper, praise the Lord. Oh, I just thank the Lord today for his help. Yes. Psalms over here in Psalms 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Is there anything that we could be afraid of? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I was thinking about a soldier, a story I read one time. He had his testament in the pocket of his shirt. They said the bullet hit right there in his chest, but it didn't go through the Bible, and he didn't get killed because it could not go through the Word of God. You know, there's power. The Lord helped him. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it, that we have a helper. We have a great God that is on our side that will help us. Praise the Lord. He's a wonderful God. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Oh, praise God, I know that my God gave us a dream, and I know last year I was in this flood, and my car was going into this flood of water, and I couldn't stop my car, and it just was going in, and I was thinking, I cannot swim, and I'm going to drown in this flood, and I can't stop my car, and the water was coming. I went into this flood, and somehow by miraculous God got me out of the car, and I'm lifted up, and I'm standing on a rock. And the water's about here to me, but I'm looking around. But then I feel my feet. It's like I was barefoot, and I was feeling this rock underneath me. And I was saying, I'm standing on a rock, and the floods, I'm not drowning, and I'm not dying, and I'm on a rock, and I can feel this rock under my feet. Oh, praise God, that is the rock of Christ. And the Lord was showing me, no matter what kind of flood, no matter kind of trouble comes to you, Christ is your rock.
Yes, he is.
And I thought, what am I doing standing in this flood? And what is this big, large rock under my feet? Where did it come from? And I'm standing on it. Oh, glory. What a blessing to have that rock.
That's right.
Right when you need it. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he is our rock. He shall set me upon a rock. Praise God. He is my helper. I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. I was thinking about the little woman that came to Jesus, and I think it's the fourth chapter of Matthew, but she came to Jesus and she wanted, her daughter was vexed with the devil. She needed help from God and she was crying to the Lord. But he said, it's not meet for me to cast the children's bread to the dogs. But she wouldn't give up. And she said, truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he said, great is thy faith, woman. He said, I have not, he just blessed her right there and healed her daughter from that very hour that daughter was healed. She would not give up. Saints, when you need help from God, don't give up. Don't give up. If the Lord doesn't answer right away, keep praying. Keep calling on the Lord. Keep asking the Lord. He will help you. He'll work something out. You know, He is a God that can do the impossible to you. What is impossible with man is possible with God. There is nothing impossible with God. Remember that. Nothing impossible with God. Therefore, God is the greatest friend we could ever have. Because as we journey through this world, there's impossibilities that come up. There's blocks. There's things that come in our way. There's troubles. There's afflictions. There's problems that look like mountains to us. But God said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt, it shall be done.
That's right.
Well, you say, well, is that really a real big mountain or just a big mountain of trouble or a big mountain of problem? Whatever this mountain is to you, God, you can say, I speak to this in the name of Jesus.
Right.
You know, we testify about this before, but one time we couldn't get in our car and we had locked our car in Oklahoma City. My parents was with us and I didn't really want to bother Jerry all the way back in Guthrie to come. I knew he would if I needed to bring me a key. But I said, Lord, you can help us. And we went into this Target or some grocery store there, whatever it was, like a store. And we're standing there a little bit trying to figure out what we would do because I locked my keys. And I remember this, how this, I really believe the Lord sent an angel. I mean, I can't say 100%, but I'll just tell you the story. But it was so wonderful. The Lord helped us. And they said, well, we could call the police and they could get one of those Slim Jims to open your car. I said, we could do that, but you know what? I said, I would like the Lord to help us.
Uh-huh.
I said, let's have prayer. And so I prayed, I said, Lord, you can help us to get in our car. And I said, told my mom and dad, I said, you stay right here. I'm going back to the car. Immediately, I hadn't been standing around the car. When we locked the keys, we went on into the store. We didn't stand around. We didn't know. We didn't think we could get in the car. So, you know, there's no reason why someone would know that I locked my keys in there. But I'm walking to the car. This well-dressed man immediately walks up to me and says, do you need to get in your car? I said, yes, sir. And he went with his hand. I don't even know if I saw something in his hand. He just went with his hands like this. And it opened the car. I was so excited. I threw back the, going to grab my keys. And I turned around to praise and thank him so much, you know, and he was gone, disappeared, couldn't find him. I looked around the parking lot. Even if he would have walked to the car or, you know, he couldn't have went that far in that little bit of time, he was gone. I believe the angel of the Lord came and opened my car. You know, we're a mighty God.
Yes.
Like I said, I can't say 100%, but it says, you shall entertain angels unaware. Do we believe that scripture? I told my little children in children's meeting that their eyes get so big. And I said, you know, that angels may come around you. You don't know when. And they're just, oh. But you know, it's true. The Bible says so.
Yeah.
And I, you know, they like to hear about angels and heaven and things like that. Well, I tell you, the Lord is our helper. Why do we fear anything? You get in trouble? Remember that the Lord can help you. He can work out miracles. He can do anything. He will help you. It says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Lord, you know, I remember a Brother Sammons one time preaching. Those remember Brother Sammons in here? Well, he was preaching one time that he wanted the Lord so bad to answer his prayer that he got right down. And a lot of people remember him preaching this. He got right down under a sewing machine. How many remember that? He got under a sewing machine and praying to the Lord. He's praying to the Lord to answer his prayer. He wanted so desperately to be humble before God, and God helped him. God answered. And I remember one time I was needing something like that. I thought about what he did, and I just kind of laid on my face on the floor and prayed to God. And God answered that prayer, too. He did a miracle. You know, God is our helper. Praise God. He is our helper. Mark 6, we turn over here to Mark a little bit here. Do you need the Lord to help you? Is there something in your life that you need God's help? He can help you. He can help us. He can work a miracle. Mark 6 and 47. It says here, and when it was calm, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone in the land. He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship. The wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves, beyond measure, and wondered. They just wondered how God could say, peace be still, and the wind would cease, and everything would be calm. God is a great God. He can do anything. Even the winds obey God. Everything obeys God. Praise the Lord. God can work miracles. Mark, and same in Mark over here in the fourth chapter, in the 35th verse. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful how God can help us. It says, in the fourth chapter of Mark in 35, it says, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto another side. This was Jesus. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship, so that it was now full. And when he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Oh, saints, we want to encourage you today. Don't be fearful. Don't be unbelieving. Have faith in God. Why are you so fearful when things go wrong? Why are we so fearful sometimes? Why do we have a battle with faith when we know that Jesus, all he has to say is peace be still, and it can be all calm. It can all be worked out. Don't let the enemy make mountains out of your troubles. Don't let him make you so sad. He wants you to enjoy your life. He gave you your life. He gave every day that you're alive. You get up, you hear the little birds singing. Sister Dixie opened the back door, and the wind and a beautiful air from outside came in. It's wonderful to be alive. It's wonderful this morning when the Lord woke me up with these scriptures. Oh, praise God, talking to me. As soon as I opened my eyes, my help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Go share that with the saints. Tell them that I'll help them. Tell them I'll work out their problems. Tell them not to be fearful. Tell them that God loves them. Tell them that God will take care of them. Tell them not to be afraid. Whatever problem you have, God can open the doors. He can work things out. Whatever he does, we're satisfied with Jesus. Have faith in God. If it don't work the way you think it should work, keep having faith in God. He loves that. He loves that. You know, Abraham, I was reading there in Hebrews 11, you know, Abraham, he believed God. When God told him to take Isaac, Isaac was the promised son. Isaac should not die if he's the promised son. If he's the promised son, he's supposed to have children as the seashore, multitudes in his lineage. Isaac is a promise. Isaac was given to Abraham. That was a promised child. He went through a lot to get Isaac. He waited many, many years for Isaac. And he loved Isaac with all his heart. And the Lord said, take your only child. I offer this child as a sacrifice to the Lord. The Lord gave Abraham a test to see if he really loved him. And dear ones, if God will test Abraham, he'll test you sometimes. Yes, he will. He'll test us to see how much we love him. And when we can say, Lord, yes, I loved this certain thing, but I love you more. You knew I loved this child, but I love you more. You knew I loved this husband, but I love you more. You knew I loved this friend, but I love you more, praise God. Oh, you know, Job said, though the Lord slay me, yet will I trust in him. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we believe whatever we go through in life, God has a blessing. God has something better if we'll wait on him. He'll work something out for us. He only does what's best for us. We must believe that. And we must believe that he will help us. You know, Abraham loved Isaac. But in 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says, all by faith Abraham, the 17th verse, when he was tried, he was tested. Don't you know it was hard to say, child, get up that morning and get ready. We're going to go offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And little Isaac was sweet. No doubt he was a handsome little son there. You know, I didn't get to have a son in the flesh, but I have three son-in-laws and I have two grandsons. They're just like my sons, little Braden and Kevin. They're precious. You know, God has blessed me. But you know, this Isaac, he loved Isaac. He was probably a handsome little boy, healthy looking boy, a wonderful little boy. He was the promised child. He waited and waited. Have you ever waited on God? Wait and pray and pray and pray. And this is what Abraham had done for years for this child. And then God said, take him and sacrifice him on the altar. Oh, but you know what? Abraham has so much faith. He said, I will do because I know that even God can raise up Isaac, even if he dies, even if I slay him, he can make him come alive again. That is faith, down dear ones. That is faith, because death, we feel like, is the last seal, but he believed even greater that God, he counted God faithful that he could even raise him from the dead. So he was going to do what God said. All God really wanted to know was, I know you love Isaac, but I want to know that you love me more. And the Lord has put us through tests like this. And he will put us through tests because he knows he likes affection. He likes love. He wants all our love. He wants all our desire toward him. He wants it above every tie on earth. Every person that we've loved and we love so much. Sometimes they'll disappoint us. They'll hurt our feelings. They'll do things that we just, oh Lord, and we cry. And the Lord said, I want your affection above that person. I want you to love me more. It's okay to love them. But you know, this is scripture in Matthew. It says, if you don't come after me and take your cross and hate thy father and thy mother, yea, and thy own life also, you cannot be my disciple. That don't mean to hate your mother or hate your father. It means to love them less than God. Love them less, and he'll put you to the test. Yes, he will. But he did what Abraham. Oh, but God helped Abraham. It says, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that 19th verse, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. This was Abraham's faith in God, that God would help. And as he walked up through that day, Isaac said, Father, we have these things to sacrifice. Where's the offering? And he knew Isaac was supposed to be the offering. Could you see how that could hurt your heart? Your little child say that to you when you know they're going to be the offering? Lord will provide, child. And he put Isaac up there. Now, some children would be kicking and screaming, don't you put me up there. Isaac obeyed his father. But as that knife started to come down, Abraham, there's a ram in the bush. Do not touch your son. For now I know that you love me. But you did not hold back your only son that you love, whom thou lovest, Isaac. Now I know for sure, Abraham, that you love me. Oh, glory to you. God wants to know that.
Yes.
He wants to know this morning that you love him above everything.
Right.
So don't be surprised if he takes away something that you love so much sometime. But it's okay, because he may give you something else. You know, he may give you another friend. He may give you something else. He'll work some way. I love when God opens doors and gives me friends. Because I know, I think, I wish I could have had their friendship a long time ago. But the Lord knows when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
He'll give it when you need it. But he wants to be the best friend.
Yes.
He wants you to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know the song that says, when earth could crumble to dust, and God securely I trust.
Mm-hmm.
Chaos in the world, storms in the world, problems in the world, but Jesus is our helper.
Yes, he can.
You remember that. Jesus can help you with anything.
Yes, he can.
It's really so.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the Lord today. I love him so much. Look to Jesus. We'll read maybe just a couple more verses here in Hebrews 12. Look unto Jesus. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, think about Joseph, how he believed in God. Think about Moses. Think about Abraham. Think about these people in the Bible. David. God didn't fail him. Did God help them? Yes. Do you think he's going to help you? Yes. We're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, even among the saints. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which still so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. Remember that first verse we read, 121. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills which cometh my help. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. Look up to him for your help. Other people can help you. We have a song that says, other friends may bless and comfort, speak a kind and cheering word, but the balm to heal the heartache, only Jesus can afford. Psalms 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I love the Lord today. I thank you for all the time, dear God, that he's helped me. I expect that he will help me all the way to heaven. Pray for me.